Welcome to the Language is Music podcast. On this podcast, you will hear interviews and presentations done by Susanna Zreisky, the author of Language is Music. You can find out more information about Language is Music and about how you can learn foreign languages using music and the media at Susanna's website, languageismusic.com, www.languageismusic.com. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
We've all heard Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger mangle California every time he says the word. Susanna Zreisky says the governor should have spent more time listening to, say, the mamas and the papas singing California Dreamin', or maybe the Beach Boys. In her book, Language is Music, she demonstrates how music can be the key to learning foreign languages. Susanna, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Sandeep.
How many languages do you speak?
I speak seven. My first language is Russian, and then I learned English when I came to the United States when I was three. And then I learned Spanish, French, Italian, Portuguese, Serbo-Croatian.
Wow. Well, I have to say right off the bat, your ability does not translate into my ability at all. But why were you first interested in languages?
You know, it actually just kind of came by accident. My parents made me study French when I was about 11 in school. And then I was a foreign exchange student in France when I was 15. And after being in France for 2 months and living there and going to school, I came back and I was completely fluent and I had an almost flawless accent. And people were just amazed at how good I was. And then I started learning Spanish and that was really easy for me. And then I liked Italian. And then it just happened that I learned other languages along
the way. Something like that happens, people say, oh, you, Susanna, you have such a good ear for languages.
Yeah.
At what point did you realize what role music was playing in your ability to pick up languages?
It happened over the last 2 years. 2 years ago, I read an article in The New Yorker by Dr. Oliver Sacks, you know, the famous neurologist. And he wrote about a woman who was born cross-eyed, like me. And then when she was in her 40s, she developed three-dimensional vision because she did vision exercises. And I know it's hard to believe, but I never knew that I didn't have 3D vision. I only learned it when I read his article. And then I found out that that was my condition. And I realized that I must have had really sensitive hearing, and that helped me listen really well and pick up on sounds and copy accents. And then last year, I read another book by Oliver Sacks called Musicophilia. And it was a wonderful book about the effect of music on the brain. And I was listening to it on my iPod when I was driving around. And it just dawned on me as I was driving, oh my gosh, I actually listen to language like music. It registers in my brain like music. And that's why I'm able to copy the melodies and the accents and sounds. And that's what it was.
But that's your special case, people would say, because you were born, you know, you had vision problems, and so your hearing is more acute. Why do you think it applies to the general public, some of whom, like me, is completely tone deaf? When I start to sing, my mother says, stop.
Yeah, well, actually, I have a friend of mine who is deaf. She's from Germany. She lives here in the United States. She hears some sounds, but we have to communicate by her reading my lips. And sometimes I write things. And she told me that she actually used to play the flute as a kid, believe it or not, and she's deaf. And her English teacher in her deaf school in Germany told her that it's because that she was playing the flute as a kid that she was able to actually learn English, whereas other kids who had better hearing than she did were unable to learn English so well. And the thing is, we're all musical beings. You can be tone deaf or you can be really deaf like my German friend, but when we're babies, we listen for almost a year before we start speaking, and we learn through nursery rhymes. There's a reason that the ABCs we learn as a song. Because we learn everything as melodies.
Well, let's listen to one of the pieces of music that you brought in to illustrate this.
Sure.
This is Mozart's Sonata for two pianos in D major. Is this to help you learn German?
I wish. I don't speak German. No, actually, it's said that Mozart has one of the highest range of frequencies of sounds, from low to high. And the idea is that in order to be able to reproduce a sound, you need to be able to hear it first. And that's why people have accents, because they don't hear it correctly. Because if your range of frequency in your language is in one range, and then you go to learn another language and there's a higher range of frequency, you're unable to properly hear those sounds and then reproduce them. And so by listening to classical music, especially Mozart and other composers that have such a high range of frequency, you're actually enabling your ears to process sounds that are new to you.
Well, let's hear some Mozart.
Sure.
Thank you. That's Mozart's Sonata for Two Pianos in D Major. And I'm speaking with Susanna Zareski, who is talking about her book, Language is Music, and how you can use music to learn languages. Susanna, people say that to learn a language, it's sort of rhythms and cadences. There's no substitute to living in that country. And you said you lived in France for a while and you come back fluent in French. But now are you saying it might be enough to just download its songs onto your iPod?
Well, you do have to learn the grammar, and I can't say that, you know, you can
I was hoping that this was all about how you didn't have to learn the grammar anymore.
Well, you do have to learn the grammar, but you're able to reproduce sounds and remember certain grammatical formats by listening to music. For example, I listened to music in Spanish for many, many years, and I lived in California since I was 5, so I heard Spanish sounds for 10 years before I started studying Spanish. So when I started studying Spanish, it was very easy for me to remember words and sounds because I'd already heard them in songs. So, for example, there's the very famous song that even non-Spanish speakers know, Bésame Mucho. And it goes, Bésame, bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche la última vez. And in there, there's a subjunctive case. Basically, it's a case in Spanish grammar where you're talking about a possibility or something that's not sure. And for an English speaker, it's hard to know how to conjugate that because we don't have it in English. But in that song, there's como si fuera esta noche la última vez. So when I started learning Spanish and I learned the conjugation of fuera, I remembered it really well because I knew the verse of the song.
So you could associate it with
exactly.
the song now.
Exactly, yes.
Well, let's hear your second choice, which is a song in Spanish.
Yes.
And why don't you introduce it for us?
So this is a song called Fruta Fresca, which means fresh fruit, by Carlos Vives. And he's talking about how much he loves this woman. And he says, yes, 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 you're my love and I want you to be with me and I want the whole world to know it.
Let's hear it.
Ese beso de tu boca que me sabe a fruta fresca, que se escapó de tus labios y se metió en mi cabeza. Ese beso con que sueño cuando las penas me acechan, que me lleva al mismo cielo y a la tierra me regresa. Y que reza, reza, que reza, y aunque ya no tenga cura, y el recuerdo de su beso me lleve hasta la locura. Sí, 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 que te amo.
That's the song Fruta Fresca by Carlos Vives. And I'm speaking with Susanna Zareski about her book, Language is Music. Susanna, when I hear that song, and I don't know very much Spanish, okay, I get the CCC part and I can get the yes, yes, yes. But the rest of it is in Spanish. But unless I can see the words on screen, like as subtitles or something, I don't know where one word begins and one word ends. So how is it helping me to learn the language, actually? Because it's a big mash of Spanish-sounding words to me.
It's true. I mean, usually when you learn a language, you don't know what one word is and what another word is because it just sounds like a whole bunch of sounds. So what I suggest is that people first listen to the music and just listen to it and have their brain just take in the sounds. And then they can go on the internet and download the lyrics in Spanish, and then they could get it in English. And then they could read the lyrics as they're listening. And then they're actually going to be able to distinguish one word from another. And then once they read the lyrics in English, when they're listening to the song, they can imagine what the song is about. And for people who are actually visual learners, what I suggest is they draw out the song. It's usually a story. So this guy says, your kiss is like that of a fresh fruit. Okay, so draw a fresh fruit. Then he says, I want the whole world to know. I want there to be posters everywhere. Draw the posters. And so that's how people learn, is they start to associate visuals with words.
And what happens when the music of a particular country is something that you don't particularly care for? In your book, you write about, you speak Portuguese,
yes.
And you had to listen to a lot of Portuguese fishing songs.
True. I live in San Jose, and there's a really large Portuguese community from the Azores. And when I was learning Portuguese, I didn't have many people to practice with, so I listened to that radio station. And they were playing music from like the 60s and 70s. And to me, it sounded like fisherman music. And yeah, I didn't like it, but it was my only exposure that I had. So I was listening to it for a long time. And then it was really interesting, Sandy, because a few years ago, I was in a situation where I was forced to speak in Portuguese. And I thought that I spoke like Tarzan. And then I started speaking, and I was shocked at how many words I knew and the phrases that were coming out of my mouth. And it was because I was listening for so long to the Portuguese radio.
What about your accent?
It's funny. My Portuguese accent was kind of a mix of the Portuguese from Portugal, and then I was also listening to Brazilian music, so I got some of that Brazilian accent.
Because most singers don't have a particular accent when they sing. Many people, for example, didn't know that the Beatles were English.
Yeah.
And I have Japanese friends who have a thick Japanese accent when they speak English, but when they're doing karaoke, they don't sound Japanese at all. They sound American. But once they switch back to just normal conversation, the whole accent comes back again. Why is that?
I think it's because people don't always listen to enough music. And what happens is I think they distinguish music from actually thinking of it as language. And I think once you get over that mental hoop and you see that there's a connection between singing a song in another language and the actual way that you pronounce the song or pronounce those words in English or whatever language it is, then you're able to translate what you've been singing into how you're speaking.
What about watching television, all the things your parents told you not to do? I've heard that telenovelas are a great way to learn language. What do you think about soap operas and things like that?
You know, it would be great if everybody learned Spanish by reading Cervantes and Don Quixote, but we know that's not going to happen. I mean, people are going to be watching soap operas. It's on TV. It's free. It's entertaining. And what you get is they're very melodramatic. So it's very easy to understand by their facial expressions and by their gestures what they're talking about. And it's usually very simple. A business deal, a lover's quarrel, and somebody's jealous. They're usually about three themes that translate into all different parts of the world. So if somebody is able
to... It's not going to help you order a meal. It doesn't fall under any of the three categories.
It improves your vocabulary and improves your comprehension. And that's what's really important. It's because people can learn how to order a meal. They can learn that from a Lonely Planet guidebook. But then when they're actually in a situation, they're unable to understand
what they're Spanish lover.
With the Spanish lover. That's right. That's right.
It's very important to know. Well, let's hear a little clip from, this is from the original, the Colombian version of Ugly Betty.
Yes.
Or rather the original on which the English version, American version is based.
Yes.
Claro que acabo de escucharla y la felicito, le salió todo muy bien. Usted siempre prestándose para esos juegos de Celestina, ¿no? Perdón, doña Marcela, no la entiendo.
Sí, mi amor, yo tampoco te entiendo.
A mí no me dices mi amor. A mí no me tratas como una imbécil y ya no quiero que juegues más conmigo, ¿entendiste, Armando? Porque eso lo tenías muy bien planeado. Claro, para que yo creyera que supuestamente viajábamos los dos con Mario. ¿Y qué? Para que yo cayera redonda, aceptara viajar.
That's a clip from the Colombian version of Ugly Betty. Susana, watching Ugly Betty in Spanish is something people are familiar with now in American audiences watching it in English. Watching it in Spanish, how does it help?
Well, first of all, you're able to see actually how people are communicating. And gestures are different in different parts of the world. And so it's important to understand that by watching the movies. And then people are able to see images and translate them into what the people are saying. And it's entertaining. And so people, once they get hooked on it, they start to get the storyline. And I know it sounds kind of funny, but, you know, I had friends who in Bosnia during the war, when they had TV access, they would watch soap operas in Spanish and Portuguese or whatever. And then they were surprisingly able to speak Spanish and Portuguese because they had been watching it so much. And then they learned a little bit of grammar on their own. They were able to put their grammar lessons to work as they were watching because they started to see, oh, that's how you say you're an idiot. Or that's how you say, you robbed this from me. So they learn the indicative tense, the past tense, and all these different verb tenses.
Well, that's true. I have a friend who says that he's an anime fan, and he watches a lot of Japanese anime on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And he's picking up a lot of Japanese as a result of it because he's seeing the subtitle. So has, in a way, YouTube been the boon for all of this?
I think it's great. I think it's great on YouTube because on YouTube, you can also look for subtitles in different languages. So if you happen to be in a part of the world, like in France and in Italy, they dub everything that's on TV. And so you could be watching Sex and the City, but you're going to be hearing French actors. So it's better off for you to go on the internet and watch Sex and the City and maybe get the subtitles in French.
Now, your parents are Soviet immigrants?
Yes.
What about them? Did they have a hard time learning English? Are they learning it by singing New York, New York or something like that? Or do you know the way to San Jose?
Yeah. That's funny. Actually, my father is in the category of people who are tone deaf and who has the mental idea that he will never learn a foreign language. So he's been living here for about 28 years we've been in the United States, and he doesn't speak English very well. My mother is able to, she speaks very good English, and she's deaf in 1 year, actually. But she likes music. But the thing is, in the Soviet Union, they were learning English in a bubble because they didn't actually have an opportunity to hear native speakers and to be able to watch movies from the United States or from England. So my parents came here already in their 40s. So at that age, it was more difficult to learn the language. But my mom definitely has been learning through music and TV.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming in, Susana.
Thank you.
Susana Zarejski is the author of Language is Music.
Thank you for listening to the Language is Music podcast. You can find out more information about learning languages through music at languageismusic.com.